This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا The last two phrases, the moral of the story is, right? A moral of a story is what we benefit from the story. Now Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us the story of Yusuf just for us to kind of be entertained, all right? Especially, this is revealed to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the conclusion of the surah is directed towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we can see, with the last two ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, and if we focus and analyze the way Allah speaks to our Prophet. Is actually very something we find, for me anyways, is very touching, right? It's something where you get a glimpse of the relationship that Allah has and the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has towards his beloved messenger, his beloved prophet, right? So these points, these small areas within the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing his speech toward our Prophet, you could just, you know, grasp like a glimpse of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves our Prophet so much, right? As well as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to him and trying to give him advice and telling him, like, I know what's going on with you. I can see that you're dealing with so many things, and Allah is there for him. Right, and it's more powerful because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born an orphan. He never had a father figure in his life. Right, the closest father that he had was Abu Talib, and he passed away. Right, so living life without having a father, just like Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, he lived majority of his life without a father. And we know if a child doesn't, you know, like a lot of the, you know, especially in America, we have so many, especially with the black community, where you have many kids who grow up without having a father, you know, away, or they're in prison, or, you know, they left their right, so you have single family homes, who you have orphans who grew up without a father. You have something missing in that child's life. Now, just imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his teachings and the things that he learned was through the Quran. This was you know, father figure, so to speak. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to him, if you ever come across, or if we ever come across an ayah where Allah speaks to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pause. Try to understand what Allah is saying and the way he speaks to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So we read 104, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وتسألهم علي من أجر إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين. وكأين من آية في السماوات والأرض وَكَأَيِّن مِّنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُم بِاللَّهِ وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُم بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُم مُّشْرِكُونَ آمِنُوا أَن يَأْتِيَهُم غَشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ أفأمنوا أن تأتيهم غاشية من عذاب الله أو تأتيهم الساعة بغتة وهم لا يشعرون قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from ayah number 104, I've just read ayah number 104 to ayah number 108. I'm going to try my best to kind of cover as much as I can between those ayahs, inshallah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَتْأَلُوهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. Still speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I want to focus. Allah is referring to two people here, or two people that he's referring to, one of which is our Prophet Muhammad. He's speaking to him. Now, the subject matter, the topic at hand, or the people that they're speaking of, are the Quraysh. The way Allah speaks to the Prophet Muhammad, not only is it's very kind, but also he is giving him reassurance. He's understanding what the Prophet Muhammad is going through, and all of the stress and anxiety and all the heavy burden that he carries. Allah comes with an ayah saying the following. He says, "Wama tas'aluhum 'alayhi min ajr." You're not asking them. You're not asking the Quraysh for any payment or any reward. Right? So the topic at hand here, as we speak, we spoke of yes last week. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Walau harasta bi mu'minin." Right? He says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he's trying his very best, to do what? To relay the message of Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is harasta means trying as much as he can, no matter what it is. He's going through so much to the point where he's wanting to give the last and final message of Allah, and he's taking it so seriously, right? And you're not even asking them for anything. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. You're not seeking payment. You're not seeking worldly benefits. You're not asking anything from them. And it's funny, it's actually interesting, because what the Prophet Muhammad is giving them can be better than anything they can return. Right? As we hear in the seerah of the Prophet, they went to the Prophet Muhammad and they ask him, Oh Muhammad, if it's money that you want, we'll give it to you. If it's power that you want, we'll give it to you. If it's women, we'll give them to you. Just stop what you're doing. And the Prophet ﷺ says, that's not what he wanted. All he wants is just for you to accept Islam, just for yourself, not for me. He wants goodness for those people, to save them from the hellfire, He's not asking for worldly benefits. وَمَا تَسْعَدُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجَرٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. However, what this is just a reminder. Remind for who? For the Quraysh? For Ahl al-Qariya? For just the Arab? ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. For the whole entire world. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, it's just a reminder for you. Not just for you, Quraysh, but for everybody who hears the Quran. It's so powerful that you have a reminder for every single person in this world, past and present. And if you wanted to benefit, like, if we really knew what the Quran can give us, we would give everything that we own for it. We would. If only we knew, if only the kuffar knew what we have in our hands, they would send their nukes just to contain what we, just to take what we have. But we're giving it, and we're not asking anything for return. We're not asking anything for return. And this is what Allah is telling him here. Now, the other way to kind of look at this is that Allah is speaking about people, but He's speaking to them in like a third person form. Now, He's speaking to the Prophet Muhammad, but the Quran is meant to be heard. These ayats are being read out loud that the Quraysh would hear it, right? They hear it. They know what's going on. The thing is, the way Allah mentions the way He does it, He's not directing the speech to the Quraysh. Right? He says, we're not asking you guys. We're not asking you for any benefits. But He's speaking to them as if they're not, right? They're not included in their conversation. You're not important enough between my messenger and I. We're not, the way Allah speaks, He's saying, we're not asking them, you and me, we're not asking them for any benefit. You know, it's like, they're not a part of the conversation here, but it's still directed towards them, right? Psychologically, when you have somebody who has a problem with another person, right? Somebody is affecting a good friend of yours. And if you speak to your friend, naturally, you would speak to them concerning another person, you're indirectly mentioning the other person. For example, if you have a brother who is like, who's hurt, because another brother, maybe he made a rumor. You would say, it's okay. Just forget what other people are saying. We know Allah, just you and I. Our conversation is between me and the brother. Whatever else you're saying, them. Don't worry about what they say. Don't worry about what he says. Do you understand? If you change the way you speak to the person and say, you know, Dawood, for example, Dawood is the one that, you know, affect your brother. Dawood, you know, sometimes he can be wrong. Just forget Dawood, don't worry. The more you mention their name to the brother, it triggers something. It's like you're reminded of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even mention them because He's directing His speech towards His prophet. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. We don't even ask them. Like, forget about them. Just, we're not even asking them. It's just you and me. Do you understand the speech here? It's subtle, but if we understand how Allah speaks to His Prophet, it makes it so much more, I would say, like, so personal. You know, it's like a father to his son, a grandfather to his grandson. It's very personal. Now, as a person who can benefit other people, the Prophet Muhammad, he can benefit not just the Quraysh, but he can benefit the entire world with just the Quran. Right? Criminals, when they want something in return, it's a psychological way of like, every criminal has a motive, right? Like if you have something that you can benefit, or you stole something and they want it back, you have a motive for that. You want something in return, right? Or criminals, whether their motive, whether it's like something that benefits them, or money, right, or revenge even, they would want something to benefit them in return. That's how criminals work. Their mind is that they would do something for you, but they want something in return. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, Allah is speaking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're not even asking them for anything. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us or informing us one of the unique characteristics of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he is. Like, we're getting to know our Prophet through the Quran. And how is it? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never wanted any benefit. When it came to teaching Islam, he never asked for anything. If it's sadaqah, he'll refuse it. If it's a gift, then he would take it. But otherwise, he wouldn't ask. Nothing. So we learn a little bit more of our Prophet just because of this one ayah, right? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, in huwa illa dhikrul lil alamin. The word dhikr here is referring to the Quran, and the meaning of dhikr is a reminder, something to remind somebody. Now the scholars mention there's two separate things that I want to cover here before we move on. The word dhikr is reminding the people of what they already knew in the past. Referring to what? Referring to the Jews. So if we go back to the reason why Allah revealed the surah in the first place, the Quraysh, they went to the Jews because the Quraysh knew that they have a book. They were following a certain religion, following a certain book. The Quraysh didn't have that. They didn't have anything of the likes. All they had was idol worshipping. They didn't have any textbooks. In fact, a lot of the Quraysh, majority of them, were illiterate. They didn't know how to read, including our Prophet Muhammad. So they wanted to challenge our Prophet. So they went to the Jews and they asked them, what can we do, or what can we say to a person that's claiming that they're a prophet? And the Jews, they mentioned, they said, if he's truly a prophet, ask him about what happened between Yusuf and his brothers. Go ask him. If he's really a prophet, ask him about what happened between Yusuf and his brothers. So the Quraysh, they're like, yeah, we have something. We have something to challenge the prophet. For sure, we can get him this time. Because we traveled to ask the Jews, how could he possibly know? So when they went to the Prophet Muhammad, and they asked him about Yusuf alayhi salam. And lo and behold, Allah already revealed the story to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Right? Now, when Allah says dhikr here, it's uncanny that Allah is saying, this is just but a reminder from what you already knew. The Jews. The Jews, they already knew the story of Yusuf. The Quraysh didn't know that. In fact, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when Allah says, before this, you didn't know this story. To our own Prophet, right? So, dhikr here is referring to what the Jews knew from their scriptures before about the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. However, in the surah of Yusuf alayhi salam, there are details that the Jews themselves didn't know about, coming to confirm the Quran is dhikr to confirm what they knew in the past. Because you can't be reminded of something without even already knowing it, right? So that's number one, dhikr for the Jews. Secondly, it's a reminder for human beings, specifically for the Quraysh. Why? Because the Quran, it's affirming something what's already in our hearts. The fitrah of the natural disposition of every single human being. Now, whenever we live life, and the things that we do in life tends to take our heart further and further away from Allah. Naturally, our heart yearns for Allah. Why do we think when we're in prayer, it feels natural? Our heart is at ease. Everything is just calm and it seems as if it's just a natural thing to do. Why is it when we fast for the sake of Allah in Ramadan, it's easier to do salah, to do everything naturally? Because it's just natural for us to obey Allah and to serve Allah. It feels more the case in Ramadan because shaitan is not there to bother us. All we have to do is battle with our own desires. You see, Islam and worshipping Allah is a natural disposition for every human being. Now we can even say that for the Quraysh. Because the Quraysh, they believed in Allah. They had no problems with believing Allah. Their problem was shirk. Their problem was associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was their problem. So that took them away from Allah. Now dhikr here, Allah sends down the Quran as dhikr, a reminder for them to go back to the teachings of Islam, to go back to the original, to the teachings of Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yunus, Ya'qub, to go back to it. Because that's what's original, that's what's natural for them. They already believe in Allah. But what they're doing is combining, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's dhikr for them as well. In huwa illa dhikru lil alameen. Indeed, it's just a reminder. It's just a reminder for us. If we read the Quran, you will realize that every single thing in our lives, whatever the Quran talks about, it just reminds you of what we should be doing. And it brings you back to the simple way of reality of life. The reality of a reality of life is just worshiping Allah. The Quran, it brings you back to humbleness. It makes your worship of Allah easier. It makes your life in this dunya easier. It's just reminding you to go back to the simple, practical life of worship. That's what it is. Wallahi, if we delve and understand the Quran, it makes a Muslim, their life and their worship, so much easier. So much more easier. Because it's just a reminder. we know because of our natural disposition, we already know that we need to worship something. Everybody, every kafir, every human being in this life, deep down inside, they know what's natural. The Quran is just there to bring them back to what's natural. That's what the Quran does. In huwa illa dhikrun lil alamin.
وَكَأَيِّن مِّنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ.
In this ayah, now I want everyone to beware. To understand this ayah as if Allah is speaking to us. Allah is speaking to the Prophet Muhammad about the Quraysh. And he says, in how many signs within the heavens and the earth do they pass over every single day? يَرْمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا. They pass by these signs every day. وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And they turn away from these signs. Now, this is one of three things that I wanted to speak about that speaks about a person of disbelief. A person of disbelief, this is one of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows signs to us every day. Only a person of intellect, only a person with remembrance, only a person with taqwa could be able to see those signs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, وَكَأَيِّن مِّنْ آيَةٍ. And what signs, what of the many signs that I provided for them, which one of the signs that Allah has from the heavens and the earth, not just one, not just on this earth, but as well as the heavens, which one of them that they pass by every single day of their life? وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And they turn away from it. When we're driving to work and we're focused on trying to get to work early because we left home late, you know, characteristics that Muslims shouldn't have anyways. You know, a person who leaves to work late, it trains their heart to be hasty. And they lose the effects of patience, right? If you're doing everything late and you're always late, it makes your heart always hasting. You're always trying to do something quickly because you're late. If you left early, if you left home early to come to the masjid to pray, your heart will be at ease. If you left to work early in the morning, you can possibly think about the Quran. You can possibly think about what's the signs in front of you. Right? So being late or being haste is a characteristic of Iblis. Right? So again, the signs in front of us is there as a reminder for us. But the only people that can actually see it are people of intellect, are people who remember Allah. Like, you have a brother who we're just walking to the restaurant. We're going to the restaurant. And on the side of the road, he sees a bug. He sees a bug on the side of the road. And he stops. And we're all looking at him like, hey, what's going on? Why are you stopping for? You know, let's go. The restaurant is about to close. He says, look, there's a bug on the street. We're like, what are you talking about? He's like, this bug. Allah made me see this bug. And you guys just kept going. So we're like, what's going on? He says, this bug I have not seen this bug in over 10 years in my life. 10 years. And if I was rushing to the restaurant, like how you guys were rushing through, just wanting to make sure you go in the restaurant before it closes, if all I thought about was the restaurant, I would never see this bug again, possibly. But after 10 years, Allah made me see this bug. Like, okay, alhamdulillah, you're done? Let's go. Right? Now, if you think about this brother, he remembered the last time Allah shown him an ayah. An ayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last time he seen his bug was 10 years ago. An ayah that Allah allowed him to see, he was able to see because he had taqwa in Allah. Something so simple. Now every single day, when we wake up, we hear the voices of our children. What if Allah took our hearing from us? Every day when we wake up for Fajr, we hear the chirping of crickets. How many of us wake up that early to hear the chirping of crickets? Even if, actually, I don't know. We live in the city. I don't know if there's crickets anymore in the city. Right? But you know what I mean. Like roosters, for example. You don't hear roosters anymore because we don't live in the farms. Right? But if we go, if we, so you know, like I recently went to the outskirts of, you know, I went to Lacey, and in the farm area, I went to go slaughter for Udhiyah, the past Eid that we just had. You realize something, where when you live in the city, I spoke of this before, but when you live in a city long enough, there are things that you are deprived of. There are things that you just don't see anymore, right? And fortunately, one of those things is the most beautiful thing that Allah gives us, the sunrise. Just the sunrise. You know, when you go pray Fajr, when you're praying Fajr and you're sitting in the masjid, actually there's some stories of the Salaf of the past, where after Fajr, they would go and sit on like a hilltop, a mountaintop, and they would make their morning dhikr outside until they watched the sun rise. When was the last time we've seen that? Being in the city, we have like tall buildings. We're stuck at home. You know, we're in the masjid, and the masjid in the past, they didn't have a roof. They didn't have, you know, the things that we have. Their walls were just branches. They're able to see the creation of Allah. We're restricted so much so that it's so difficult. Just living normal daily life is difficult for us to remember Allah. Because of the signs that He gives us every single day, we cover ourselves from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Which of the signs that Allah gives abundantly for us that we pass by every single day and we're heedless of it? We don't pay attention. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Quraysh, and we're here, 2023, and we're hearing these ayats being read to us. Imagine how deprived the remembrance of Allah, even though we don't want to. If we go out right now, when you look at the sky, you're just looking. Even if we don't want to, sometimes Allah reminds us then and there. Right then and there, we just see the clouds and we're like, Ya Allah. That cloud, just like the brother who's seen the bug, that cloud, only Allah allowed me to see that cloud. After this, after another second, it's going to shift to a different, you know, a different form of cloud. It's going to look differently. But the fact that it looked the way it looked when I saw it, Allah allowed me to see that. You know those pictures where they take a picture of the cloud, and then the cloud is literally like, it looks like Allah. right? 5 seconds later, or maybe 20 seconds later, the wind is going to blow that and nobody's going to see it again. The person who took that picture, Allah allowed that person to see that. A reminder of Allah. So be aware of your surroundings and all of the signs that Allah gives us. If you go a day without remembering Allah, it's a day of waste. It's a day where your heart becomes harder because you're not reminded by Allah. So Allah is telling the Quraysh, how many, and he's still speaking to the Prophet. He's indirectly referring to the Quraysh. How many signs do we provide for them in the heavens and in earth? Do they pass by every day? Them. وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And they don't pay heed to it, right? Now, another point I want to bring up is the second point of a disbeliever. Now, we mentioned that the Quraysh, as disbelievers, they don't pay heed to the miracles and the ayats that is shown in front of them present time, right now. In the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that the Quraysh had the audacity to go ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a sign. And they did it jokingly. They said, you know what? If you're a true prophet, show us a sign. Tell your Lord, go tell Allah to show us a sign, and then, you know, if we see a sign, we'll believe. Just like the nations before, like Salih alayhi salam. Same thing. Salih alayhi salam, he was approached by his nation. He said, if you're a true prophet, give us a sign. He says, what sign do you want to see? The rock. When they split the rock, what did it become? A huge she-camel. And after witnessing the sign right in front of them, they disbelieve still. They still disbelieve. And with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Surah Al-Qamar, when Allah splits the moon at the request of the Quraysh, not just haphazardly, but at the request of the Quraysh, Allah split the moon right in front of, for them to see. And what happened? They still have yet to believe. So a sign that is given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at their request, how hard does a heart have to be if Allah gives you a sign and you don't pay attention? Allah gives you a sign every single day and we don't believe in Allah. At least we say Subhanallah. At the least. Now, in the next ayah, and I want to come up to kind of leading up to the third kind of characteristic, if I would say a characteristic of a disbeliever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, and most of them are not going to believe anyways. They're not going to believe in Allah while they're associating partners with Him. Now, the problem with the Quraysh, right, as we mentioned before, is that their problem is not a problem with believing Allah. وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. They associate partners with Allah. There's a point that I want to make here, is that we, currently, we might not have this problem. We might not associate partners with Allah. But the things that we do is arguably almost equivalent to what they're doing. And what is that? The things that we prioritize in our life, the things that we have first, that we put first before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this dunya. Is love of this dunya. Love of wealth. And we seek happiness through this dunya, and we don't seek happiness through Allah. Doesn't that remind, isn't that similar to somebody seeking answers or seeking happiness through an idol? Our idol is money. Unfortunately, the majority of people nowadays are so blinded by what this dunya can give us that we don't see the akhirah. We just don't see it. Why? Because we're blinded by this dunya. Now, whether or not we want to call it worshipping, you know, worshipping money, worshipping power, worshipping fame, we idolize people who has these things, right? Like, yeah, we don't, you know, obviously we don't worship money, we don't make sujood to it, but we look up to people who have money. We idolize them. We want to be, you know, we want to be with them. We want to be them. Whatever they're doing, we're following them. We're following their footsteps. Like, how does he get rich? What stocks does he buy? How does he wake up, and what's his, you know, his, what does he do in the daily life to get to where he's getting? I want to follow what he's doing so that I can be with him. I can be like him. That's idolizing people who worships money. So in a way, we're prioritizing those things and those people over what Allah has to give us. If that's not all common practices of worshiping something, then I don't know what is. All of these things that we're doing is common practice of somebody who's worshiping an idol. You wake up, you feed the idols. You see, like the Buddhists, right? They wake up, they actually give money to the idol. They give food to the idols. They're doing whatever it takes to seek happiness from a stone. In reality, we're doing the same exact thing to money, to power, to this dunya. وَهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And all they do is they associate partners with Allah. They're making Allah leveled with something else. What we're doing, we're putting something over Allah. And that's money, fame, power, this dunya. May Allah protect us from that. Now, I want to share something. During the Great Depression, during, I think it was the 1920s, right? The Great Depression, if we were to interview somebody who was living during that time, we would ask him, like, how was the Great Depression? How's your daily life? What did you do to survive? I heard that you guys had to, you know, wait in like long lines that are like 2-3 miles just waiting to get barley or grains of rice. I heard it was so bad. In fact, by 1993 or 1933, almost 12 million people were out of a job. They didn't work. 12 million in America alone, 12 million people did not have a job. So poverty was at its pinnacle during that time. Nobody had money, right? You can imagine the anxiety and just this, the stress that people have during that time. They didn't have money, so they had to find other means to survive, right? So if we were to interview somebody, how did you survive during that time? You know what they would say? They would just say, like, we would just eat from the crops. We'd wake up and just, you know, Whatever we grew, we just eat from there. Whatever we had, we just take it. Every day was a new day. And every day, we just kind of did whatever we did to survive. It was simple. Now, the reason why I want to share this is because American psychology, or just kind of American mentality, we have been duped. We have been taught that if we don't have a job, it's devastating. If we don't have money, that's all, that's it. Life is over. If a person goes bankrupt, their stress level goes over the roof. If the bank, something happens to the bank and all their money is gone, they feel like they would rather die. Like recently, not recently, but when the stock market crashed, you had Americans jumping out of tall buildings, committing suicide. Why? Because they thought that their life was over, because they didn't have money anymore. You know, the Great Depression, the way the Americans were living, you know, they wake up, they whatever they planted, they ate, whatever their farm had, they ate from it. That day-to-day life was actually international. That's how people lived. That's normal. That was normal day-to-day life for everybody in the world. But we are taught now that if we don't have money, that's it. It's over. You should kill yourself. Jump off a building. The American mentality is so toxic that money is truly power. If you don't have money, your life is over. Who said that we need money to live? Who taught us that? Why do we need money to live? Why can't we just grow or, like, you know, live simple like the rest of the world live? But no, we're tricked. Without money, there's no life. Doesn't that sound like a god or a deity that people search for, or something that you need to have? If you don't have it, there's no reason to live. It's just like us. If we don't have Allah, I would say there's no reason to live. If we don't have Islam, I would rather not live. Doesn't that sound similar? Use the American mentality. Money is their god. Truly. Without it, they would rather die. And the Great Depression is proof of it. Why? Because you have Americans live during the Great Depression lasted for 10 years. Americans, they lived simple life, the rest of the world. So money has come into a society corrupt. It's a means of living. We have to do that. But it's different when you just go and seek money for the means of living rather than seeking money to gain something from it, gain worldly happiness. Or just being solely focused on gaining money and gaining money. When it takes you away from the remembrance of Allah, that's how you know that there's something wrong with it. If money or your job or anything else takes you away from the remembrance of Allah, that's a problem. Whether it's games, whether it's a hobby, whether it's something that you interact with every single day, even if it's halal, but if it takes you away from the remembrance of Allah, there's a problem. Ayah number 107, and we'll end it at this, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْدَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Now, this is the third. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaking about the Quraysh, do they feel safe? Do they feel secure that a covering punishment, an overwhelming torment, will not take them, will not overtake them? Do they feel safe from that punishment? Or, أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمْ سَاعَةً بَغْتَةً, or the last day will come to them when they least know it, when they least expect it. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they don't even feel it. They don't even have any idea that is coming. So they're talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking to the Prophet Muhammad, saying about the Quraysh, do they feel safe from my punishment? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word ghashiyah. In ghashiyah, when you hear this word, it should make your hair stand. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hal ataka hadithul ghashiyah, ghashiyah, the word ghashiyah in Arabic, it means to cover something, to completely envelop or take over, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says Surah Al-A'raf, he says, yughshil layla wa nahar, that the night is completely taken over the day. When happens to the day, it vanishes. Is it there? Do you see the day? It's completely gone. It completely overwhelms. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about his punishment, Allah explaining his punishment as ghashiyah, it should strike fear to our hearts. When Allah's punishment is completely overwhelming, that's something that we should fear. And Allah is explaining, do they feel secure about this type of punishment? They can go anywhere on earth, but my punishment will be overwhelming, no matter where you are. And then he says, أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً, or the day of judgment that will come suddenly when you least expect it. The day of judgment where nobody has any form of warning that is coming is gonna come when we least expect it. Do they feel safe from that day? That's what Allah is asking here. And he says, he kind of says it twice. He says, as-sa'ata baghta, sa'atu baghtatan, a day in which it comes suddenly. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and then they least expect it. It's like a compound way of saying, like, it's gonna come and you have no idea. When it comes, you have no idea. No idea when it's coming, and when it does come, you are gonna be completely caught off guard. That's the day, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Something that should just strike fear in our hearts. We hear the name of Allah, and we hear Allah being so kind, always being there at the exact and right moment when Yusuf alayhi salam needed him most, when our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam needed Allah most. But don't forget, my brothers, when Allah comes with a punishment, indeed is al-ghashiyah. It is overwhelming. It'll take you by surprise. That's the day when we'll know the anger of Allah is something that we don't want to deal with. Yes, the rahmah of Allah is more than his anger. But do we want to try? Do we want to test Allah's anger? When we miss a prayer, do we want to test Allah? When we see something haram, do you want to test that day? When we pass a red light and nobody's around us, do we want to test Allah? Do we want to test His anger? When He explains Yawmul Qiyamah, it should make our hair stand out of fear of Allah. Now, I mentioned the three of a disbeliever, specifically talking about the Quraysh. What they did, and the few ayahs after this, will solidify what I'm about to say. A disbeliever, not only they turn away and they disbelieve in the signs of Allah that's present in their daily life, the ayats that they yamurruna alayha, that they pass by every single day, they turn away from it. They're heedless of it. Secondly, the ayats that are given to them, the ayats that were shown to them of the past. They know the story of Salih. They know what happened to the nations of the past. They know the punishment that came down upon these people. They know that because Salih and Hud are prophets who are Arab. And the Quraysh knew about them. In fact, their land, they passed by it. The remnants of those people, of Thamud and Ad, are left there as a sign of the past. And they know of their stories. Yet, they're heedless of it. They deny it. So they deny the ayat of Allah presently, and they deny the ayat of Allah in the past. And they also deny what is going to come to them. Overwhelming torment. An ayah of a future punishment that is coming. That's imminent. That is bound to come. For sure. أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَ is for sure going to come. So, if we are heedless, and if we deny the ayats right in front of us, the ayats that has been revealed to us, and the ayats that is coming to us, you understand the hearts of these people. The Quraysh, their hearts was so hard that all of the ayats in the heavens and the earth, the ayats that were shown to them in the past, and the ayats that Allah revealed to them here, and yet they still don't believe. You know, we as Muslims, we are aware of every single ayah that has been revealed to Quraysh. And we are aware of the ayah of the Quran. Yet, we deny it. How can we deny and ignore and are heedless to this Quran? How can we do that? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling a perfect example, the Quraysh, they denied everything. Are we at the same level of the Quraysh? Unfortunately, a lot of people are. And we call ourselves Muslims. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I ask Allah to prevent us from not understanding His book. I ask Allah to prevent us to have a heart that is similar to the heart of the Quraysh. I ask Allah to enlighten us with the Quran, to give it to our hearts and give us the understanding of the Quran. And I ask Allah, the one who controls our hearts, to keep our heart firm on His deen. through the Quran, through reading the Quran, through understanding his words and the lessons that he teaches us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa jazakum allah khair. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.